Welcome to the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast. I am here with my friend Glenn Tickle.
I'm here with my friend John Lunger.
And this is the podcast where the two of us are recreating all of Wikipedia off the top of our heads, because quite frankly, we know a lot of stuff and we think we can do a better job.
Yeah, just not on Hollow Earth.
No, last week was a tough loss, but we are still ahead. All-time score, we've won 10. Wikipedia's won 10. We've tied 5 times. Episode 3, Season 2.
They won 10?
No, we won 10. They won 8.
I thought you said
we've tied 5 times.
I thought
times.
You just said they won 10.
It's possible. It's possible. Right. We'll pull the
I was worried back. That we're doing worse than we're doing.
It's late. We're recording this later than usual, and I'm a sleepy boy.
It's a sleepy time.
Yeah. I'm just ready for bed. I'm ready for bed. But, yeah. I mean, that's the general hypothesis of what we're doing here.
Straight up.
Yeah. And quite frankly, like, we're giving it everything we got. We're giving it more than 50% of our duty cycle.
We are really giving it all of that 50%. 100% of 50% of our duty cycle goes
it's
into
true.
This show.
All the way, baby. All the way. If you don't know what that means, listen to our back catalog.
Or look, or like, if you do know what it means, please explain it to us, because we've said for a few weeks now that we were going to look it up, and we haven't.
No, I'm not.
It could be very interesting process.
Maybe.
But it's duty cycle, so I'm an 11-year-old. It's hilarious.
Oh, man. I like that we have a slogan. I know I wasn't on board originally because I didn't understand it. Admittedly, I still don't really understand it or care, but like I just like saying it. So.
I don't know. I mean, I don't understand or care about the scoring.
Yeah,
so
that's a good
let
point.
Me have this.
No, I am.
Let me have my duty cycle, John.
I will, baby. I will.
So what are we doing today?
Well, we've got a whole bunch of suggestions that we haven't used yet.
Yeah, in season two, I feel like everybody's really, really coming to play.
Yeah, and if you
want to
play...
Some weeks in season one...
Oh, it was rough.
Scant pickings.
Yeah, but if you want to play along and give us suggestions of what pages we should do, check out the Improvised Wikipedia Facebook page. Give us a follow there. Tell your friends about
us, too.
Don't
just text us things that you want us to talk about.
Because that's not how this works, right? So we pull up Facebook, so like the Facebook page.
I've had that happen a few times, and it's like, cool, I'd love that you're interested and want... an episode about whatever it is, but I'm
like
not gonna
soap.
Remember this. Yeah, shut up about soap, Emily. Ugh. Read a book
about
read Fight.
Soap.
If you want to learn about soap so goddamn much, go read Fight Club and leave me the fuck alone, Emily.
But we've got a bunch of suggestions that I've kind of mashed up because there were multiple posts that we put out into the world, right? So I'm gonna need a suggestion of a number between 1 and 20.
Yowzer.
Yeah.
15.
15. Okay. So that means I go here. Well, it's another Rosalie Fry one. We just did her suggestion. So I want to bounce up to the next realistic one. Is that okay?
But I do want to know what hers is.
And I actually, we might. We've done so many things in this world. Did we do a Velcro episode?
Yeah.
We did a Velcro episode. So that's even not even.
Rosalie.
Listen to our back
catalog.
Come on.
Come on.
We're going to go to the next one. Friend of the show.
Ooh, or is that the lost episode? You and I have talked about Velcro. No, I think Zippers is the one that got lost.
I don't remember. Zippers got
or
lost.
Velcro
Zippers got lost because Zippers were invented by Whitcomb P. Judson, which is the greatest name ever. And
had that great gif.
We had an amazing episode that just... computers killed. But friend of the show, very funny improviser, Eileen Gentile, has suggested
Eileen.
Anti-gravity chambers.
Okay.
It's an interesting one because I don't think I know what they are, and I think I'm confusing them with other things, but
well,
I don't know. I think we can do this one.
Okay. Can we? Because are they...
Do they really exist?
No. Like,
because I'm thinking of like those things where you float on salt water, like those
sensory deprivation tanks. But there's there are things where like you get, it's like a harness that you kind of get in and like it hangs you a little bit to like relieve stress on your back.
So there is a search term for anti-gravity. I don't want to click through because I don't want to skew it.
Well, that's.
Is that the next? Is that the most recent way to the most reasonable way to do this?
No, because I think that gets more into like cartoon land of like, you know, Bugs Bunny anti-gravity boots or right. like.
And I don't think we can do chamber because that's too broad.
Anti-gravity.
Chamber is a room. Boom. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
I mean, we might have to go back to the next most usable.
Finish typing chamber and see if there's one in there.
Nope. There's something called anti-gravity cat, though, and that sounds very exciting. Can I click through just to see what it is?
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be like a D-list Marvel character.
Anti-gravity. Okay, the buttered cat paradox.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because like butter always falls, buttered bread always falls butter side down. Cats always land on their feet. So
right.
what
so
happens
if you buttered a cat?
Right, or you strapped a piece of toast with the butter up on the back of them, which would probably be used. Well, I don't know. Both of them sound stupid. It's a classic thought experiment. It's an interesting Wikipedia page. Very short, fun little cartoon. You should check it out. I don't think we can do that page, though, in that gravity chamber.
I think she might be talking about the thing.
The sensory deprivation chamber?
No, I think, like, the back thing. It's not really anti-gravity. It's not, like,
but what's that thing?
It's not like, Moon Man talk.
But, like, what's that called so we can have a Wikipedia page to compete against? Because if we're not competing, why are we doing this? We're doing this versus Wikipedia, Glenn.
I think right now we're doing it against Eileen.
But I like Eileen. I don't want to do anything against Eileen.
Yeah, me too. Eileen's great.
So should we get another suggestion?
I think we have to. I think this is a non-starter.
Eileen, love you. Thank you for the suggestion. Try again next time we make a post, but make a better suggestion.
Blame Wikipedia for not having an entry. Or go write the Wikipedia entry all by yourself. You can do that.
The phonetic alphabet?
Yeah.
Let's do it. The phonetic alphabet suggestion by Jeremy Frank.
Hey, boy,
you,
mayor.
Jeremy.
I think he's gotten another one on at some point.
It's possible.
We've talked.
He's
about
one of our yet-to-be-unnamed fans. And that's not our fault. That's up to you guys. Like that fucking Facebook page. Post it
I feel
there.
Like Jeremy Frank has got some fan name suggestions at the ready.
Yeah, I haven't seen him yet, though, so what does it matter? The phonetic alphabet. Yeah.
That's the thing where you say words instead of letters?
I think so. Yeah, like that's whiskey, foxtrot, tango kind of
thing.
Can
you do it?
Alpha,
Bravo, Charlie, Delta, Echo, Foxtrot. Great job. Hi, friends.
Icicle.
Ice cream.
Jerk. Kangaroo,
Lima, Moon Man,
Nipple, Object Permanence.
Object Permanence, definitely.
Those
well,
are back
it's
to
object
back.
And
yeah,
then
yeah,
permanence.
Yeah.
Very good. Quixotic.
Yep.
Raptor.
Mm-hmm. Sexy time. Back to back
sexy,
again.
Sexy in time. You got it. Underpants.
Yeah. Vertigo. Whiskey.
Yeah.
X.
Xylophone.
And Z.
No. What's the X dinosaur?
X dinosaur is a bird. That's a really good joke. That's a really solid joke, and I broke Glenn for like a split second there. Yeah, thank you.
Z-Gungosaurus.
Okay.
No, that's the Z one.
I don't know.
I'm trying to remember. Where are we?
I think we're on Z now.
X, Y. Do we do a Y
do
one?
We do, Y is...
Youngblood.
Youngblood!
Zootopia.
Yeah.
They paid... The
movie, yeah. It's
yeah,
a brand.
They paid
thing.
A lot
it changed
to get
it
in there.
So, like, here's the question. So we nailed it, right?
It used to be Zulu, but then Disney marketing.
Yeah. Shout out to Disney marketing. Hey, why does it exist, though? Like, what's the purpose of the phonetic alphabet?
I understand the purpose pretty well because I mumble. So on the phone, a lot of the times, I have to repeat things that I say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, because as radio communication developed, it wasn't great to start out with. So like, it's really easy for somebody to say B and you hear D through a shitty radio. So to make it more clear, they needed a way to like,
right, and to
spell things out in a very clear, unmistakable way.
And you want to standardize it because sometimes words can sound the same too. So if everybody's using the same set of words, all of those words are chosen because they sound unique,
yes,
too. So that's why that they are.
Right. You like, don't want like B for bog and then D for dog.
Right.
Like, that's
that'd be terrible. That's right. And like, ridiculous. So a lot of times I think people confuse it when like when people are like spelling their last name and they're just like L as in love letter. And it's just like, well, yeah, no, that's not.
Bill Tickle always says T as in Tom.
Yeah. But really, it's time.
My last
it's time
name,
because
like,
it's sexy time.
Yeah. Well, because Tickle, when you say it to people, like, one, it's a dumb name, so people don't want it to be true. Like, I feel like in their heart, for me, the person that they just met, they don't want me to have such a dumb name.
Right.
They're like, that, like, it can't be. It can't be what I think you just said.
Right, because when they hear that,
what kind
like,
of
oh
life
my,
would.
Oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
What kind of life
through.
Would you lead?
Yeah.
But it also rhymes with a lot of other things. So
Pickle.
Yeah.
Sickle.
Dickle?
Yeah.
George Dickle. It's a type of whiskey that's very
oh, really?
It's the other type of Tennessee whiskey.
Yeah.
It's a specific classification, Jack Daniel's, of course, being the most popular.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, you run it through charcoal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the distinction. It has to be done in Tennessee, run through charcoal, aged in barrels.
That's right.
New oak
you
barrels
a,
for 2 years.
You went on a whiskey tour of
yeah.
the South with a friend who was writing a book that they never wrote.
George Dickel does
now.
Theirs cold. They run it. That's the mm-hmm. difference. So like a bunch of fats and stuff gets stuck in it, and it's real nasty to look at.
Huh.
But the guy, the insanely old drunk tour guide that we had, insisted that because they do it cold, it takes out everything that gets you hung over. So if you only drink
false
George Dickel, you no. will not get hung
that's
over.
That's the now.
And he's like, I've had a bottle of George Dickel every day for the past 40 years, and I've never had a hangover. I'm like, I think because you've just been drunk that whole time, bud. You've never not been drunk long enough to get hung over. I think that's the secret to your success, old drunk man. He's probably dead now for sure.
So there's no transition saving drunk guy in Tennessee to phonetic alphabet. So we're just going to plow through it.
He was probably in the military at some point. Maybe. Right, it's a military.
Well, actually, I was going to go back and say,
tool.
Like, okay, I think you're right. The advent of radio is when this was invented because there's no reason for it to exist.
Pre-radio, there's no reason to spell things out with words.
Right. It
unless
make
you're
sense.
Doing like an acrostic.
Right. Yeah. Or like a serial killer, maybe.
Yeah. If you're doing like a fun code, maybe, but
a fun code of where you hid the body.
Yeah, so right, they developed radio communication.
So that's a good point. Like, when's radio invented? Because ultimately, that's going to be like when phonetic alphabet was invented.
Oh man, who's the guy that got credit before Tesla?
Oh, George C. Radio.
I think it's George something. Something with an M.
George M. Radio.
George M.
No, George F. M. Very helpful today.
Not Fermi.
I don't know, man.
This is going to bug me.
Well, let's move on, and you can just yell
so
the name. You can yell the name out 10 minutes
right,
from
5 minutes,
yeah.
I'm just going to scream it very loud.
Uh-huh.
1898?
Great. 1898. Done. Sold.
Nah,
stamp it.
Gotta be before that.
Great. 1854. Awesome. Stamp it. Fucking notarize that shit. We're moving on.
No, I'll stick with 98 as like a placeholder until I scream out a different number.
But is it military invention?
Radio? No.
No, phonetic alphabet.
Phonetic alphabet. Tool for sure. They might have standardized it. Like the one that we did perfectly at the top of the show.
Yeah.
Including
object permanence and
sexy time. I had to learn it in Boy Scouts, so that's 100% correct.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's going to be a bitch to type out later.
Yeah, but like military, definitely. And then I think.
Yeah, I think the one that people learn
like,
and use.
Also, when cops go over the radio with license plate numbers.
Yeah. So that they
those
can
are
feel
the two
like they're
practical
in the military.
Applications of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say the standardized one, military. I feel like I was going to start saying a name, and I got that. I was going to say George Melies, but he's an early film guy, not a radio guy. Nope, that's the president of France. I was going to say Macron. I'm like, no, not him.
Nope. It's all right, Glenn. It's all right. I mean, there's not much more. Like, this is a very straightforward topic. I can't imagine this Wikipedia.
Well, when did the men? So I think so. We're locking in that the military did not invent but standardized. When?
Well, yeah. If the military didn't invent but standardized, who invented? Where did this come from?
First people to ever use a radio. They're like, oh, this is very hard to understand what you're saying. Could you please spell it out with some words?
See, I think
it's right, like Bell's like, hey, Watson, come here, I need you. And he's like, right. What? Because it sounded bad.
I don't know, man.
That was a telephone, not a radio. I know. Please don't email me.
Or text you with suggestions.
Please don't ever communicate with me.
Yeah, only do ever. It via the improvised Wikipedia Facebook
it's
page.
It's the only way I ever want to hear from you. I changed my phone number and didn't give the new one to literally anybody. My wife's like, what's your number? I'm not telling you.
What? Okay.
My old one still works. Like, I ported it to Google Voice. But I like that I can turn that off and then just go dark.
Mysterious man.
Very mysterious.
To bring it back to the mystery of the phonetic alphabet. I think the military did invent it, right? Like, I think this is something where, like, yeah, you're right that people couldn't hear each other. But I don't think, like, I don't know that it's problematic until you put it into, like, a wartime scenario, right? Like, that's where it's just like, shit, we need to figure this out. I think it might be an American military thing. I really do.
I mean, I think they're the ones who said, like, hey, we need to create a phonetic alphabet.
Yeah.
But I think the same way, like, some people get credit for inventing a thing that people did before. Like, anyone who talked on a radio from the time that a radio was invented to the military locking it down, they're like, oh, this is, it's hard to understand. Can you, like, yeah, hey, this is Glenn Tickle. Ben Jickle? What? Can you repeat that? Glenn Tickle. Ken Bickle? No, it's G is in good boy. L is in lucky time. E is in extrapolate. And like, no, it can't be all over the place
that.
We
got to
lock it down.
Yeah.
Call the military.
Maybe. You know, there is, I mean, coming up.
Like, the military's not the first ones to spell a word out over a radio using other words.
Here's the thing. We can either prove that or disprove that, right?
I can prove it in my heart.
Well, that's not proof. That's
it is
it's love.
That's the meaning of
love. Here's
the
thing, though. I'm feeling particularly sassy coming off a week where we did Hollow Earth Theory, right?
Okay.
It's entirely possible we've got this all backwards. What if someone invented the phonetic alphabet and they were like, well, we got to find something to use this for, right? Like, what are we going to do this for? And like, hold on. What if I found a way to like make your voice go through the air over large distances and then we could, but it's not going to be like perfect. So we're going to need to like clarify things. We can use this sweet alphabet we just made. Huh?
So you're saying
what about that?
Like a weird dad in a garage in the 1700s was like, I got a better idea for an alphabet. What about if instead of letters, words for everything? And they're like, Doug, this is lunacy. When is this ever going to be
I'm
useful?
On board with this, but Doug didn't do it in a garage. Doug did it in an opium den.
I also feel like we got to bump up. I said 1700s. We got to move it up because he has to live to see the invention of radio and be like,
this is
finally. You dumb assholes. You thought I was crazy. You thought I was a madman, and now you see I was right all along.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have much more for this page. Like, I don't think there's anything really else. Like, I mean, maybe there's some specific examples in, like, wartime of how it was helpful, but, like,
I mean, it's helpful just because it makes it more clear. You can spell out specific
things. Yeah,
things.
No, I know that.
There's
I'm
a lot of words that sound like other words.
I'm not saying it's necessary. I'm just saying what else could possibly be on this page? Like, I mean, that's pretty much it. There might be a picture of it, like the list of all the words, like in a sidebar. But, like, I don't know, man.
There's a great Gary Goldman bit about how all the states got their abbreviations, because the bit is about a documentary about it, because he's like, you would think like it's easy, and then you start doing it and you're like, oh, there's a lot that like start with the same two letters. And I've only seen the bit, I haven't seen the documentary, but it's apparently like a very interesting documentary about like the group of people that were assembled to standardize state abbreviations.
Sounds amazing. And my favorite part of this story is there are now listeners of this podcast who only know the explanation of a guy who's seen a bit, but not the full documentary. So now there are people that know that there was a standardization of people that came together.
Not
to
because
that.
They saw the documentary
and
or
not because
saw
they saw that comedy
bit,
bit. Because they heard you describe how you haven't done the work. Love that.
I'm saying there has to be a similar story about.
Yeah, like here's the 12 guys who bunkered down together and figured out the phonetic alphabet.
So first war the
rum tum tuck.
World War One, you think?
World War One, probably. Yeah.
There was radio before that.
Yeah, but World War One's probably where it was like.
But yeah.
Yeah. World War One was like the Jaws laser disc of the phonetic alphabet.
Yeah. I think that's probably when they figured out, because they're like, oh, look, we got this great new tool. We can talk to each other from far away.
They're like, yo,
this is
let's use Doug's alphabet that we've been trying to figure out how to use him. Stop killing people. Don't use that for your serial killer notes. Use it for the radio.
And then Doug was finally vindicated.
All right. Well, in a minute, we're gonna pull up the phonetic alphabet Wikipedia page, but we do have to step aside to thank this week's sponsors. But we'll be back, and we will see who won in a minute. Are you guys like me? Are you constantly typing, whether it's on your computer or on your phone, right? Like, you constantly have to use words all day, right? It's a thing. Here's the thing that I love to use. Have you used a QWERTY keyboard?
I have.
That's Q-W-E-R-T-Y.
Hell
it's
yeah.
The standard placement of keys. Oh, my God. It's the best thing to type
Laid
on.
Laid out by Benjamin Franklin.
Oh, it's
a lot of people don't know that.
It's
or
the,
a lot of people do.
It's
I don't
the
know.
Absolute best thing to type on. I can type so many words per minute. You would think that it would be crazy because it's not alphabetical, but it's amazing. I only exclusively type my messages on QWERTY keyboards, and I want you to, too, because
this
they're
that good.
This is
weird, because actually I got contacted separately by another sponsor, by Dvorak assholes. They
oh,
wanted,
no.
Oh, yeah. They were going to sponsor the podcast this week.
Oh, no,
they're
we
like,
can't.
Hey, we got a better, we did some math or
no.
some dumb shit.
No.
And we figured out better places to put letters.
No.
And we're gonna change keyboards forever.
No. And that's, see, here's the thing. We draw the line on this podcast. I only endorse products that I myself use. The QWERTY keyboard is the superior typing machine. Don't fall for those competitors. That's why we did not take their money, even though it was significantly more money.
Yeah. Well, because the thing is, like, those people have a lot of time and money and not enough to get anybody to give a shit about their dumb keyboard format. So please just let it go. We've all decided QWERTY is what we're using, so just back off, Dvorak.
Yeah. Here's the best part, too. You can use it on your phone. You can use a QWERTY keyboard. On your laptop, you can use one. On your desktop computer that has a keyboard, that can be a QWERTY keyboard. You can even do it on an iPad. Like, there's literally, if you want a typewriter, you can get a QWERTY keyboard. Honestly, it is precision typing machine, and I want you to get one because we have a special improvised Wikipedia podcast deal. You can save 5% on your QWERTY keyboard purchase with the promo code ImprovWikiPod at checkout. That's ImprovWikiPod. You can find the details on the improvised.
Look at that dumb nonsense.
Oh, my God. That's terrible. He just showed me the other one. It's awful.
Ugh.
Does not make any sense. But you can also find the deal on the Improvised Wikipedia Facebook page. Use Improv Wikipedia Pod at checkout.
Type that in with your QWERTY keyboard and throw your Dvorak nonsense in the garbage.
All right, and we are back.
Hey!
Phonetic alphabet Wikipedia page. I was right, not super long. A lot of charts, a decent history section. I mean, it's mostly charts, and it's different language
yeah,
charts,
like there's
too.
Yeah, there's probably ones in different languages. There have probably been a few changes.
Right, and so, like, honestly, we're not going to dock ourselves points for that just because we're dumb English speakers and we're not bilingual or anything. But specifically speaking, what we're going to talk about now, according to Wikipedia, is the NATO phonetic alphabet. It was officially denoted as the International Radio Telephony Spelling Alphabet, also commonly known as the ICAO phonetic alphabet.
Oh, yeah, because an airplane, they would use it in for air traffic control and stuff, too, and that's all standardized to English around
right.
the world.
So it's the most widely used radio telephone spelling alphabet. It's often just called a phonetic alphabet. Spelling alphabets are unrelated to phonetic transcription systems.
A is for apple. B is for banana.
Right. This is not that. So the 26 code words in the NATO phonetic alphabet are assigned to the 26 letters of the English alphabet in alphabetical order.
The good alphabet.
As Ooh. Follows, right? So this is a little different than what we said at the top of it. You have
so
to be the
wrong.
Judge of which is better or worse, because we were actually right. So this is what is on the Wikipedia page. Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, Echo, Foxtrot, Golf, Hotel, India, Juliet, Kilo, Lima, Mike, November, Oscar, Papa, Quebec, Romeo, Sierra, Tango, Uniform, Victor, Whiskey, X-Ray, Yankee, Zulu.
Sexy Time wasn't even in there once. So
no.
I don't know where you're getting
your
information, Wikipedia.
They do not address object permanence either. What is this Oscar Papa? It's object permanence. So strict adherence to the prescribed spelling words is required in order to avoid the problems and confusion that spelling alphabet is designed to overcome. As noted in a 1955 NATO memo, and I quote, "It is known that the ICAO spelling alphabet has been prepared only after the most exhaustive tests on scientific basis by several nations. One of the firmest conclusions reached was that it was not practical to make an isolated change to clear confusion between one pair of letters. To change one word involves reconsideration of the whole alphabet to ensure the change proposed does not confuse itself to others." So in other words,
that makes sense.
Yeah, don't like, you can't change Bravo to Beaver because that could fuck up everything else.
Right, you can't, like, if H is hotel, you can't make M motel.
Holiday Inn. Say what? Okay, there's a section on international adoption. It just talks about, you know, how military organizations have used it. NATO, the defunct Southeast Asia Treaty Organization, some other places, International Maritime Organization. A lot of people use this for the reasons that we articulated. Usage.
Marconi!
What?
That's who got credit for inventing radio before Tesla.
Nice. A spelling alphabet is used to spell parts of a message containing letters and numbers to avoid confusion. Because many letters sound similar, N and M, F and S, the potential for confusion increases if static or other interference is present. For instance, the message "proceed to map grid DH98 could be transmitted as "proceed to map grid Delta Hotel Niner AIT. That we didn't get into numbers here. So
We didn't. But
no, but that there are versions of numbers too. So there's a pronunciation chart, which is super helpful. I mean, it's crazy. But it's there. It's long, too. So they go into different variations.
Ooh,
they go into the thick. Different official years and which convention it is. Kind of interesting. It's also got the official spellings of these words. Super helpful. I mean, this is a good page. So here's the history section. Though this is truly, I think, the most interesting part. Because there is a lot of chart.
Noisy mouse.
I have a very
That's
noisy
what you
mouse.
Got.
Yeah. Prior to World War I and the development and widespread adoption of two-way radio that supported voice, telephone spelling alphabets were developed to improve communication on low-quality and long-distance telephone circuits. The first non-military, internationally recognized spelling alphabet was adopted by the CCIR during 1927. The experience gained with that alphabet resulted in changes being made in 1932 by the ITU, and the resulting alphabet was adopted by the International Commission of Air Navigation, the predecessor of the ICAO, and was used for civil aviation until World War II. It continued to be used by the IMO until 1965. So we were a little off in terms of the whole military thing. This is really like an international affair, like, and travel being specifically the bigger part of it, I think. Nothing to say to that?
Yeah, I mean, because it was, I mean, there was use. You talk on the radio for reasons that aren't military.
Yeah. World War II, many nations use their own versions of a spelling alphabet.
But so far this time, there were alphabets, is what they're saying, not this one?
Correct.
Okay, so I think we're still
in the running because
we're
of
still
that.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So the U.S. adopted the Joint Army-Navy Radio Telephony Alphabet in 1941 to standardize systems among all of the branches of the U.S. Armed Forces. The U.S. alphabet became known as A.B. Baker for the words A and B. The Royal Air Force adopted a similar one during World War II as well, but other British forces adopted a different one. So, like, we're all over the place here, right? And then to enable the U.S., the United Kingdom, and Australian armed forces to communicate during joint operations, in 1943, this was modified to have a joint Army-Navy alphabet for use by all three nations, and the result was the U.S.-UK spelling alphabet. There's lots of just different names for this alphabet and the different organizations involved in it, but this is when it started kind of getting formally published in U.S. Army field manuals, and so this is the kind of the first time they really formalized it in terms of like process for military usage here. So the results showed that many of the words in the military list had a low level of intelligibility, and most of the deficiencies could be remediated by they use the judicious selection of words. So in other words, there was still disparity. Like, they didn't have it as clear cut as the NATO phonetic alphabet
right.
that we read
so
at the
first
top
couple
of
tries, it was still not
wasn't
clear
quite perfected,
enough.
Right? And that's where we talk about how, like, once this found itself, you can't make one change because the whole thing is a 26-letter ecosystem. So in 48 and 49, a gentleman named Jean-Paul Vinet, he was a professor of linguistics at the Université de Montréal. He worked with the ICAO to research and develop the new spelling alphabet. And his kind of 5 points for how he kind of got there process-wise were, number one, it had to be a word in each of the three working languages they were using. It had to be easily pronounced and recognized by airmen of all languages. It had to have good radio transmission and readability characteristics. It had to be similar in spelling in English, French, and Spanish. And it had to be free of any associations with objectable meanings, right? So they weren't going to use any naughty bits here.
Mm.
Like 50% duty cycle
sexy
did
time.
Not make the
That's
cut.
That's why sexy time
yeah.
got eliminated from the NATO one.
Right. So that study helped them, and they adapted a revision to that alphabet in 51 and in 52. And they were still found problems with their list. So basically, this has been refined and refined and refined. There's just so many revisions listed here. I've lost interest in reading them. But this is pretty spot on and very well documented in terms of just all of the nuances and all of the changes that happened here. I'm just going to keep scrolling because they have these charts and these pronunciation charts for all of these different versions of it and all these different variations. And that just really brings us to the end of the page. It's a very dry page with a lot of charts and a lot of kind of citations
so
of how many when they tweaked it.
So, I mean, it's robust, but are all those charts necessary? Is a lot of unnecessary ass charts?
Oh, yeah, there's page fillers here. They definitely like cranked the font size on this paper before they handed it in to make the page count that the professor assigned. So, I mean, a lot of filler, not a lot of killer.
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of stuff in there.
We had a lot
I did yell Marconi real loud.
Yeah, we had a lot more fun.
There's no way to measure that, you know.
I just did, baby.
Somebody might get rock hard doing charts, and they had a real blast wasting everyone's time.
I mean, just run the numbers. Someone in this world gets rock hard doing charts.
Yeah, probably.
There's just too many people, right?
It's not me.
Right. Well, we've come to the end, which means we have to make a decision. I don't think we won. I don't quite feel like we lost.
I mean, we We didn't have as many charts, that's for goddamn sure.
But we're an audio format. We can't have charts.
We can describe them.
What are we
going to
do? What is in the next
describe
episode,
them in perfect.
Are you going to have me be like, all right, row one, column one?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, really get in there. Explain.
Oh, hold on.
I'm going to make you read one of the spreadsheets that I have to do for the record label.
I'm gonna assume that one person who gets rock hard doing charts is listening. Ready?
This is a chart ASMR audio all of a sudden.
Row one, column one.
Fill that cell.
Alpha. Row one, column two. Bravo.
Duty cycle.
I don't know. I don't want to lose, so I'm going to call it a tie. I don't care. I got no
fast
shame.
Fast and loose with these ties lately.
I don't give a shit.
But I don't either, so sure, it's a tie.
That's the type of like attention to detail that our fans have come to expect from scoring these episodes. Our unnamed fans. Guys, you got to get on that. Ladies, you got to get on that. I don't care. They have to get on that. Come on, people.
Everybody, get on up.
So that brings our score right now, 10 to 8 to 6.
Okay.
Still in the lead. Still doing yeoman's work, kind of just plowing through. I feel good about where we're at, but if I had to be 100% honest with you, I wish we had a little bit more of a lead.
Yeah, no, I do too. I want a bigger lead. I want Wikipedia to lose at everything that they ever try to do.
That's unnecessarily aggressive. You should probably donate them $1 to make up that deal. So.
I have in the past given Wikipedia.
Well, I mean, like
I
right
like
now.
Wikipedia, which is why I'm going to destroy them and take it for myself.
Oh, man. Well, that's the end of the episode. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the suggestion, guy whose name I don't remember.
Jeremy Frank, Boy Mayor.
Yeah, there you go. Jeremy Frank, Boy Mayor. Thank you so much for the suggestion. Thank you all for listening. Do us a favor. If you see Glenn's mom, tell her about this podcast and tell some friends about it, too. We'd love that. Check us out on Facebook.
I feel like it's a sweet sentiment to tell my mom, but I feel like she's made her choice by now, one way or the other, whether she's going to figure out how to download a podcast app and subscribe. Tell your mom.
Tell
your own mother. Please.
No, hold on. Let's take moms out of this. Just
leave
tell some people.
Alone.
Yeah, tell some people who listen to podcasts. Yeah.
Tell them.
Because we'd love to have them in our throngs of fans. Just like you people who we love too. Shout out to that rock hard row and column person too. We appreciate you. No kink shaming.
Do your charts. Do it up.
Chart it up, baby. All right, that's it for this episode of the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast. Thanks for listening. Row one, column one. Bye.
Optimus Prime would have been a good one for OMP.